The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, around the Delaware Valley, on a beautiful summer morning here, we're actually afternoon, here in the Delaware Valley, right in the middle of things. Welcome to the Andrea Sasso Show. Here on the American Justice Radio Network, we've got a phenomenal show. We're sponsored by Tony Shuler and Pinnacle Medical Plus. I'm your co-host, Joe Dougherty. Andrea, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I am fantastic. Great to be in the middle of the summer. I'm looking forward to getting on vacation. We're heading down the shore, I guess, sometime next week. So, looking forward to getting the heck out of the city.
Good for you.
But that's the beauty of radio. We're really never that far away. You can be in Hawaii and call in. So, but I'm still looking forward to getting out. What's new with you? I haven't seen you in about a month.
I know. Well, that's a plan for next month's show, I think, if we broadcast from Hawaii. That'll be good.
Let's do it.
I am happy. But I'm not complaining. It's finally tolerable weather here again, and 80 degrees today. It won't be bad.
It is raining. It is cool weather. But it's been a little muggy lately. I mean, we're getting hit by these thunderstorms, and
yep.
I think they had up in Bucks County, and our guest for today's broadcast is going to be able to elaborate, I'm sure. But it's with massive flooding last week. In fact, somebody said something to me about their house and how thing, and I hadn't really understood. I'm like, oh man, that's terrible. But then I saw the news and said, oh, my God, it is incredibly, it was a brutal flood.
No, I read my friend, I saw on Facebook, it took her like 3 hours to get home from work to the South Philly from Bucks County. There were 3 feet of water that she had to drive through, and coincidentally would have been similar to my commute, except for another coincidence, my dog walker got in a car accident.
Oh boy.
And I had to go home early.
On the other hand, whose fault was it? Because you could be procuring work while you're...
Of course I was procuring work. I had to leave early to walk the dog. I had to make up for it.
That's right. No, I know that, but I'm saying whose fault was the car accident?
It was not her fault.
Okay, then.
So we're going to see how she feels, and we're keeping an eye on it.
Absolutely. Well, she's in good hands, thank God.
Thank God.
I want to bring into the broadcast... No stranger to the show, that's for sure. So happy to have her. And an eyewitness, by the way, to the storms up there in Bucks County. Caitlin Files of Files Law, workers' compensation firm and attorney. How are you, Caitlin?
I'm doing well. How are you, Joe?
It's great. I'm fantastic. You look phenomenal today.
Thank you. My gosh. Yeah, well, I'm coming here all the time.
Both ladies are, I feel like I'm in the wrong place here where I'm surrounded by fantastic attorneys and beautiful people. So having said that, what I'd like to do is...
Oh, my.
Don't we get a radio award for that? That's right. That's Matt. Before we get into anything, Caitlin, tell us about, before we get into the firm... You were eyewitness. Your firm's in Bucks County. Talk about that.
I was actually, so I live over in Yardley, which is kind of a flooding area, but I was driving to a client's house during the storm.
Wow.
I didn't realize how bad it was going to flood. I drove to the area that actually was on the news. I've never been in something like that before. Wow. I was terrified. I drive an SUV and the water was up to the hood of my car. It was terrifying.
Oh my God, how'd you get out of it?
I was just like, my dad's gonna kill me if I waterlog this car, but it was okay, it was fine. Kids were playing in the street like it was a pool.
Yeah.
It was the craziest thing I've seen.
It's almost like a flash flood situation.
It was. A lot of cars just pulled over to the side and were just waiting it out, but I didn't even think it was gonna be that bad, but it was crazy. It was nuts.
Wow. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm glad, no one was, seriously hurt or anything like that because, you hear some of them stories and they're having people that have found their car in the wrong position.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And like I said, somebody said to me, was telling me about it was the next day and I didn't have a lot of information on it. And so I'm just giving them like the answer, regular normal answer. Sorry to hear about that. When I got home and saw it on the news, I felt terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, just unbelievable. So let's remind our listeners a little bit about both firms. First, our host, Andrea Sasso. Tell our listeners about Stampone O'Brien Dilsheimer and your career.
So at Stampone O'Brien Dilsheimer, we handle personal injury cases, specifically a lot of catastrophic injury cases involving construction, commercial motor vehicle, medical malpractice. We happen to be one of very few firms in the city that have a doctor lawyer on staff. So for medical malpractice review, we actually get a lot of our business comes from all of the other law firms in the city. They send us cases to look at for them because they don't have the advantage of having a doctor lawyer on staff. So we handle, you know, construction cases. JB Dilsheimer, my partner, who has another radio show, I think on the sister network.
Shout out to JB.
He has a really, really strong history in construction. His family owns a company, and so we're in an advantage on those kind of cases. Motor vehicle accidents, we run the gamut. I've been in my own motor vehicle accident, so for better or worse, that has made me an expert in that area, and my clients seem to really appreciate the fact that I've gone through the injury, the recovery, the insurance, the totaling of the vehicle, from soup to nuts. So for better or worse, my karma put me in that area, but it made me very good at my job. So
absolutely.
Here we are.
By the way, how do you like the new digs here? You've been, I didn't have the pleasure of doing your first show here. This is your second show at the new studios, WWDB, but it's a familiar building to you, am I correct?
It is, actually. Right out of undergrad, I went to Temple undergrad, and I worked at a concert promoter right out of college, and I made connections with the people at Greater Media Philadelphia, which is now Beasley Media. It's the sister group of stations that we are
live on right now.
And so it turns out that, you know, 12 years later, I had gone to law school after working in the marketing area.
And now you're hosting the show.
Now I'm hosting a show in the same building. So it was really great. I came out of the broadcast last week, and Greg Monahan, Rhonda Hibbler, Chuck D'Amico, they all were out here in the hallway like I'd never left, and it was great.
Oh, so, my God, that's fantastic.
I'm going to go, I think, hunt around today for Kelly Wallace. I'm looking for you.
All right. There's a word out on the street for Kelly Wallace. But awesome. And certainly, I'd like to bring in Caitlin Files, and our guest. And Caitlin, if you would remind our listeners about the firm and yourself.
Sure. So I do workers' compensation. We do Social Security disability as well, but primarily workers' compensation. So we don't run the gambit that Stampone does, but we just specialize primarily in work comp. I've been doing that since I was interning in law school. So my entire career has been representing injured workers. And we opened about a year ago, based out in Bucks County. But we represent injured workers all over Pennsylvania. I know. My card.
By the way, I'm holding right now in the studio the coolest card, the Law Office of Caitlin Files. It's one of the coolest cards. It's crazy.
I brought one for you, Andrew, so you can have one.
Oh, yeah. I knew you would bring one.
This is cool.
Yeah.
It is cool.
This is the difference. This is the distinction of having an American Express black card versus a regular card.
It is.
What her business card is like compared to all the others.
Here's my advice. Don't leave home without it. How do you?
I love that. Yeah.
You like that?
I'm going to start making that the tagline.
Right. Exactly. Both of the firms. Because, you know, sometimes you just work together.
We do. A lot of people don't realize how often our two types of specific practices have crossover. People get hurt at work. They think I'm getting workers' comp. They think that's my case. You know, I'm just going through workers' comp. They're my friend. Everything's fine. What they don't realize is if they were in the course and scope of their employment, but it was someone else's negligence, they're entitled to get pain and suffering as well from the additional party's negligence. So construction cases, even if I'm a contractor, I'm picking up supplies at Home Depot for, you know, my boss and I get hurt there. Well, there's a tie-in right there. If I slip and fall at Home Depot because
it's just a hypothetical, though, right?
This is a hypothetical. Sorry,
right, right.
Home Depot has great hallway.
Because I was just trying to get sponsorship from Home Depot.
Sorry,
that's
sorry.
I'm just kidding.
Okay. Go to Lowe's, I guess.
I gotta go to Lowe's now.
I was gonna make a political joke, but I'm not gonna do that either. For you. So in any event, we have a lot of cases where, hey, Caitlin can say to her clients, "Look, I can get you this, and this is great for your wage loss and your medicals while you're hurt from work. But guess what? You're entitled to pain and suffering through a third party case, and I have Andrea to help you with it. And these people, most people don't even realize that they're entitled to it.
Sure.
It's interesting.
So let's you know, we're going to talk about several topics. We've done the women in the law segments, and we've done shows, but you know, not in a while. So we're going to get to that as well. But let's I like doing something we call case watch, which means that for, I guess for our purposes, what it means is we're going to talk about a potential third party case. Okay. And what I'd love to do is let's talk about one that actually happened without actually talking about, saying the names. But something that maybe impacted you where you, either one of you have worked closely with, a third party attorney, so if you're a personal injury, you're working with workers' comp and vice versa. Andrea, talk about a case, that maybe impacted you, that was something where it was a third party case, they came in, you immediately knew it was a workers' compensation situation. Or does that normally happen vice versa? Where do you work comp attorney?
It could go either way, to be honest. I think that sometimes it depends on the need for the third party lawyer like me versus the workers' comp lawyer depends. Because I always tell my clients, workers' comp is your friend in the beginning until they're not your friend at the end. When you get workers' comp, I have a client that has a catastrophic injury. He almost lost his entire leg while he's working.
Wow.
So from day one, there's been no problem with him getting every medical bill paid for, his wage loss is paid for. That's fine. This could go on for 3 more years. That's how hurt he is. He needs us immediately to preserve evidence in the third-party case. There's a striking vehicle. There's a DUI element. Where was he drinking? Where was he consuming? That guy might have been working at the time of the accident. So it's critical that we were involved immediately the next day, interviewing, getting video, getting out preservation letters. The workers' comp element of that case really isn't important other than us setting up the original claim until, 5 years from now when they think he's reached his maximum improvement, he's fine, he can go back to work, whatever. Then you might need a lawyer to say, hey, he's actually not ready to go back. Hey, he actually isn't able to do that job in the same way anymore.
But at the beginning, for the actual worker, you're talking about for the settlement and for the, but for the worker himself, the only compensation he can get is workers' compensation if it happened at work. Is that
right?
Am I getting on to something?
Right.
There?
But so Andrew is saying basically, if work comp is accepted in the beginning, there's really no need for that work comp lawyer to step in because they're not really going to mess with that injured worker until later on.
Translation. Right. All right, I blew that one.
I mean, if they were denying wages in medical in the beginning, yeah, you need that work comp lawyer immediately. But if they're just accepting work comp, which it sounds like they did. Her client's case, that work comp lawyer isn't needed until they start to mess with his medical benefits and wages.
I got you. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so my point was that we are really necessary first because they're accepting everything. What we're doing is first and more critical. And then later, when he becomes close to recovered, back to work, then he will need an attorney to fight. The fighting doesn't start with workers' comp until later.
Got you. Now.
In that situation.
And that's a scenario in a lot of ways that is a catastrophic injury.
Yes.
Okay. So when it comes to workers' compensation and if it's a catastrophic injury, a lot of times, Caitlin, that injury will get accepted right away. Is that true?
Hopefully.
What I'm saying is a catastrophic injury.
Usually.
When it's an obvious injury. You know, if somebody almost loses a leg or breaks bones or something that is a lot of times if cases are going to get accepted, those are the ones that are typically, if they get accepted, do. Is that correct?
That's usually the case. And even if they don't in the beginning, at the first hearing, a judge will be like, all right, you need to tell me why you're not accepting this immediately.
Exactly.
And that's assuming they're on their workplace property.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, the one I should have said, the mine's a little different because my guy is off work, off site, doing something for work.
Okay.
So they could make an argument against that and say, mm-hmm. no, we're not accepting. He hadn't gone to work yet, or he was on his way here or there, and he had taken a break, and there's all these things. So you do always need to call the workers' comp attorney quickly, but I think that the importance depends. Or sometimes if one of those arguments comes up, guess what? They are really more critical quickly on versus us.
Well, let's do this from both sides. So I like what we're talking about in regards to if they call the personal injury attorney first, in that case, because you're preserving evidence immediately. Okay, a lot of times, you know, and we'll get into a typical work scenario where maybe it doesn't appear to be a catastrophic injury. Somebody didn't, but it's still a serious injury, and maybe it's one that lingers for the rest of somebody's life. But we're going to get to that in a moment from the work comp attorneys when somebody goes to a work comp attorney first. But if you're fortunate enough, and I say fortunate because that evidence and issues like spoliation are extremely important. At what spoliation is?
So, for instance,
I got this one. No, I'm just kidding, Andrew. I'm just kidding.
Well, you missed. I will quote Clancy, who was here on the last show. You weren't here. We were talking about Clancy Boylan works at Morgan & Morgan, and he has a lot of experience with this kind of stuff as well. And he gave the example of a commercial motor vehicle accident. You get hit by a commercial motor vehicle accident. That driver calls it in. Well, most people don't know that they should or probably have GPS tracking. It might track their speed. There might be video. The second he calls it in, the other side is scrambling to delete stuff, hide it, lose it,
right.
You know, have a malfunction, you know, and people don't realize that will get lost in like 48 hours. So, I mean, coincidentally, I was driving down Cottman Avenue last week. I was a little late for work, but I saw an accident that happened. And I just pulled over to the girls and yelled to them, you know, make sure you talk to a lawyer soon. They will delete that evidence. You know, they had no idea that was something that would happen. And it wasn't a slam dunk. It wasn't a rear ender. So that could go either way. And they've got lawyers for days. Their whole job is to...
It's the insurance companies.
Right.
What they do.
So, I mean, they're starting to delete this evidence, misplace it, whatever. But that GPS with location data and speed data would have shown that the guy was speeding right away. And even if we just send out the letter to preserve the evidence, it says that, hey, you're aware of this 24 hours later. And if you got rid of any evidence, we can ask the judge to give a negative inference in trial that there was something bad there that you didn't want shown, because that's how quick you got rid of it. And that's what we mean by spoliation of evidence. So I often
happens when there has been spoliation of evidence, what actually happens? In other words, what is the consideration given to the jury? Are they supposed to, accept that this is the way it actually happened, but we can't actually tell because somebody got rid of it?
Well, basically, we can ask the judge to give an instruction to the jury that they can assume something was on there that was hurtful to them, and that's why it's deleted. And if the judge doesn't order it, you know, we still can make the argument like, we can call the person that says, you knew about this accident a day later, you knew there was evidence, and you don't know what happened to it. Okay, got it. Even right. If we don't get the conclusive instruction, we still get to give, like, you know, the jury will hear, you know, the steps that they took in doing an investigation and the steps, and every, you know, I'll get every piece of paper that they, you know, put into their computer after the commercial, the driver called in the accident. All of that stuff. So I say to people all the time, just let me send out a preservation letter. I don't care if you fire me later. You know, I know you, you know me. Maybe you have a parent who's a lawyer, but they're out of town. Just let me send it out. And then that's the whole case sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, that's important. And having said that, and I want to remind our listeners that you're listening to the Andrea Sasso Show on the American Justice Radio Network. Andrea's guest is Caitlin Files. Caitlin, we're going to kind of go in the other direction because what I find amazing is, let's take a typical and a scenario. I don't want to call anything typical, but what happens a lot where it's a construction industry accident. Mm-hmm. And in workers' comp, does it matter whose fault it is? In other words, is negligence necessary to get workers' comp?
No, it doesn't matter whose fault it is in workers' compensation. In Pennsylvania, this is only for Pennsylvania. So in Pennsylvania, it doesn't matter if your employer shouldn't have had something there or if you shouldn't have had something there and you got hurt.
You mean in Jersey it's different?
I honestly don't know. I don't practice Jersey law. But in Pennsylvania, it's just, it doesn't matter whose fault it is. If you got hurt, you got hurt. Now, of course, if like
you were horsing around or you were under the influence, yeah, it's a little bit different. But let's say you just had the ladder in the wrong spot. It doesn't really matter if you
right.
fell off.
If you accidentally, you know, I'm saying hit yourself right. with a hammer. I mean, and I mean that. Like, you're holding a pin in your breath. It doesn't matter. Or if your partner did it.
Right. It doesn't matter.
However, having said that, or if another party did it, it doesn't matter from another company. But let's talk about a scenario that is... you know, I'm going to a scenario that is something probably that happens a lot where somebody gets injured in work. Let's just say they're on a construction site. You know, they're in the we call it the hall when they're working in on the first floor, and somebody dug a big hole. Okay. We're walking on the dirt, you know, and somebody falls in that hole. They're walking, with equipment. They don't see the hole, it goes down. It was the hole was dug by another contractor. It wasn't dug by the workers' contractor. It's a big job site. Okay, now this individual has never been injured on the job. He may be working for the company for 10-15 years, but he's or she's got a problem. They typically have no idea clearly what's going on. There was no caution tape around the hole that was dug, and you get the call. Now, let's push it back a second. They've decided to give the. It happened on a Friday, and they've decided to give the company the benefit of the doubt. It wasn't the ambulance didn't have to come. It was a 6-foot hole, but they're sore, but they're going to just see how it goes with the weekend, right? Mm-hmm. Going to walk it off, right? Come back Monday, doesn't feel good. Okay, they did the best they could, but now next thing you know, they ask the boss what to do. They don't have any idea of what's required to go to their own doctor. So they tell them to go to one of these
panel doctors.
Well, panel doctors and rehabilitation, and they do that for. Let's talk about this for Andrea. They do that for 6 weeks. And they get denied their workers' comp. They get a temporary order that they get it, but then all of a sudden they get it taken off. Now they got a problem. Why? Because now it hasn't been overnight, Andrea. That evidence may or may not be there still. Okay, you now, and this is probably a more typical scenario because this person didn't even know, not only not know to call an attorney about the personal injury, they didn't know what their rights were and what they should have done. From the point of injury, they didn't report the injury on the first day. They might have reported it on the second, on the Monday. Okay, that opens up a whole nother ball of wax. Take it from there, Caitlin.
Oh, man. I hate that scenario, but really right. hate when that case walks in the door. One is that they let the weekend go by. So any argument can now be made by the employer that they did something over the weekend. It didn't have to do with the injury on Friday because they didn't report it until Monday. I always tell people you should get an injury report as soon as possible and take a picture of it. You would be, as we were talking about spoliation of evidence, work comp, the thing you see disappear the most are these injury reports. If the injured worker doesn't go home with one, it's going to be hard to find that injury report after that.
Well, and why? I've been working for this company for 10 years. Never missed a day. I got injured on Friday. I fell in the hole. Okay, I got out. I want to give them the benefit of the doubt. I didn't have a broken anything, but my back was stiffening up. But I thought, I'm going to give a solid to the company and wait till Monday to see if I'm hurt. Why is that not a good idea? I thought I'm doing them a favor.
Because if they put so much time in between telling it immediately, the employer can make an argument that something else has happened and that the injured worker would be lying. Because if you're hurt, you're going to report it immediately. They're going to try to say something happened over the weekend in the course of the
I'm a grown life. Man or woman, right? And I'm doing them a solid, but that happens.
It happens all the time. Now, if they come into my office 6 weeks later, first thing I do is file a work comp claim, and then I kick them over to Andrea's firm and say, let them work up the third party.
Well, but let's talk about that. What do you're now, okay, you might have an issue, but let's just say they said, okay, they were fortunate enough to where a company goes, okay, we'll accept that, that you were injured on, maybe there's a witness. We're going to send you to the panel doctor. What are the qualifications, number one, for, and why is it important to be able to see your own doctor? But what are the qualifications that a panel doctor has to have before somebody has to go to see a panel doctor? The company qualifications, that, you know, the post on the wall.
Okay, so this is a common misconception in workers' compensation. Everyone thinks that the first 90 days you have to treat with a panel doctor. That is not true in Pennsylvania. There have to be three requirements that are hit for that to be true. One, you have to have signed a rights and responsibilities form when you were initially hired. You have to sign it the day of your injury, and they have to actually have posted up a list of doctors. All three of those things have to be hit. And even if all three of those things are hit, you can still go to your own doctor. The insurance company might just not pay for it, but you can still go see your own doctor. Everyone is, even doctors think that they cannot see their right. patients for the first 90 days for a work injury. It's just not true. It's not accurate. So those are what has to be done for the employer, but it's really important to go see your own doctor because the insurance company is the one who's paying these panel doctors who are just trying to get you back to work.
So having said that, you're looking at the case. Okay, you're looking, and typically the individual probably doesn't know much about workers' comp. Probably has already been devastated because he can't believe that he's, you know, getting beat up or she's getting beat up. Let's talk about the third party element and what, you know, how you come to that conclusion. What is your process?
So I have actually been impressed over the years seeing how often, and I see it a lot with construction workers. They actually do take pictures of what the situation looked like that caused them to get hurt. Even if they haven't reported the injury yet, even if they haven't actually called a work comp attorney, they'll say, oh yeah, I took a picture of the hole I fell in before. And then 2 days later when they patched it up and so you can see what they've actually done. I'm like, this is great. Your third party attorney is going to love this. So send it on to that. But as soon as I hear that it's either not happening at the employer's actual job site, or if a third person was involved, if there was a product that malfunctioned or something like that, or if it's an auto accident, I don't really work up third party lawsuits. I don't do it. So I just say, call this lawyer and let them see if there's something there. And Andrea's firm is really good about finding a case when the work comp lawyer might actually not think there is one. So they're a good firm for that.
And there have been so many cases. The scenario, Andrea, that I describe as a very obvious one.
Right.
But there are ones where somebody gets is working in work, even if it's catastrophic or whatever, and it looks like it was their fault. They were working on a machine, their clothing got taken into the machine. Next thing you know, they lose a limb or something like that. But many people, so some attorneys may think, okay, well that's not third party. But it could be a defective tool or something like that.
Right. It could have been a defective product. The first thing we would want to do is check and see, you know, run any like recalls on the product. Is there anything that, you know, are there warnings that were supposed to be alongside there? Was there training that was supposed to be provided to these guys? And a lot of the things with these kind of cases is, there are exceptions. Like, I didn't realize that there was an exception to that 90-day rule that Caitlin just
told
us. I had no idea. We touch on a little bit of workers' comp. A lot of my clients deal with it. And I'm like, okay, that sounds right. You can't see any of their doctors for 90 days.
There are workers' compensation attorneys.
Work comp lawyers are like, that's not true.
No, that's great. And then on the flip side, a lot of times people think, oh, well, you can't sue your own employer because you're taking workers' comp. Well, there are exceptions. And JB is the expert at this. But especially in a construction site, because you might have your number one employer, you know, that subbed out to another contractor who subbed out to another contractor, or these people were in charge of the toolbox talks and the training every day, and these people were in charge of the inspections of the products and the safety of the site. And so you just want to get a third party attorney involved to as early as possible to sue everyone and let them, you know, let it work itself out and figure out who the correct defendants are. So it happens all the time.
Caitlin, before we go to break, how often are workers' compensation issues have a third-party component that may not be obvious?
I actually think work comp attorneys aren't as good at spotting them, because I'll hear that there's a third-party case with a case I have, and I'm like, what? I didn't even see that. You know, so I actually default try to send everything out for a third-party lawyer.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is how often – you know, like, so when it comes to a work injury, Is it, and there's a third party element, not something obvious where you, you know, you can see it from, but is it, does it happen more often than people think? Does it, you know what I mean? Where there's something there that's not typically obvious, because you just mentioned something. It could, Andrea, it could be training
right.
that they on a piece of equipment that somebody didn't get.
Right.
There's got to be angles that people, you know.
Well, we find the angles, Joe.
You find the angles?
I find all the angles.
We're talking angles here on WWDB. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to pay some bills. We are going to have more from the Andrea Sasso Show and the American Justice Radio Network, and her guest, Caitlin Files, after the break.
Suffering a work injury or any type of personal injury can be a painful and traumatic experience. What can make it even more difficult for a patient is trying to navigate and find the quality medical care they need for their particular injury. Healthmark Enterprises is a full-service medical coordination and marketing company started in 1994 by CEO Robin Lewison that takes all the worry and complications out of treatment for a work or personal injury. From coordinating full-service medical treatment with a top medical professionals, providers, and specialists to overseeing patient compliance and providing one-on-one personalized communications with clients. Healthmark Enterprises handles the entire treatment process for injured workers and those suffering personal injuries so they can just concentrate on getting better. Healthmark Enterprises believes that being injured should not limit one's access to great medical care. Now, more than ever, an injured person needs an advocate on their side. Contact Healthmark Enterprises at 215-563-1315. That's 215-563-1315. Healthmark Enterprises. Pinnacle Medical Plus is a full-service urine toxicology and durable medical equipment company serving patients throughout the continental United States. With over 25 years of industry experience, the professionals at Pinnacle Medical Plus provide high-quality services and products combined with excellent service at a reasonable price. On the urine toxicology side, Pinnacle is a trusted partner that provides the most up-to-date therapeutic drug monitoring technology. On the DME side, Pinnacle offers an extensive list of premium products along with priority delivery services. At Pinnacle Medical Plus, their number one goal is making sure their customers and patients receive the quality care and services they deserve. Contact Pinnacle Medical Plus for all of your urine toxicology and durable medical equipment needs at 888-396-8644 or online at www.pinnaclemedicalplus.com.
Joe Buck and John Smoltz welcoming you back to the City Center Convenience Mart.
Uh-oh.
She's looking at the cigarettes, but she just grabs the gum off the counter. Stand Up to Cancer and Rally want you to reduce your risk for cancer. Go to takeahealthystand.org.
Really? And skip.
Want me on your team just a little bit? Take a look around, you can see they're all
and skip. You can skip songs, but don't skip the doctor's office. Talk to your preteen's doctor about how to safely come in for their well visits and recommended vaccines. Really? And skip.
A public service announcement from Vaccinate Your Family in collaboration with Merck.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Andrea Sasso Show on the American Justice Radio Network. Andrea's guest is Caitlin Files, the Law Office of Caitlin Files. You know, we're talking third party cases here, but also, Andrew, you recently got in an accident in 2017, and we can't talk about all the details, of course, mm-hmm. but the ability to be able to empathize with your clients because you got T-boned there, your injuries are extensive. And you can feel the pain, and when somebody's talking to you, it's, one of the things about, good attorneys is you can always, obviously empathize and all those things, but when it's actually happened to you, that must take that to a whole new level.
Yeah, so I feel like even people in my own life forget, I run into them and they go, oh, you're still dealing with that? And they mean the pain from that as well. And I'm like, yeah, no, the pain hasn't, I've learned how to manage it. I get these injections, those injections, and you learn how to deal with it, but it becomes part of your life. And I don't think that people understand that when you don't have, I call it a sexy injury, like a broken bone, that requires an operation kind of thing. Sometimes neck and back injuries, they don't look sexy. You can't see it, but it hurts and it lasts forever. You live with that stuff forever. Neck and back is, I mean, and I worry about, you know, when I clean my house in 20 years, that's going to be awful because of this injury. And that's what I want people to understand. They deserve compensation for, you know, oh, I went to physical therapy. I have this back soreness every once in a while. Okay, well, you're still 30. But in 20 years, when you have to want a garden, or if you want to have a baby and it, you have to carry a baby with a back injury now.
Oh, my God.
Think about it, women that are 30 years old. I mean, it frightens me, and I want my clients and potential clients to understand that it's not, you know, just a little soreness once in a while. This is going to be ongoing, and sometimes you don't even know the full extent of the injury until years later when you've solidified that treatment plan that I get an ablation every year. I get an epidural in my low back twice a year. I get Botox injections for migraines every 3 months. You don't, that's just your treatment plan. That's never ending when it's neck and back stuff. So
if you met my wife one time, and she's supposed to stop by the show before it ends. I'm not sure if she's going to make it, but she's got a scar right here. And I,
he is indicating under,
right,
his
a great
neck,
point.
Like
such
the neck,
thank you.
The necklace line.
Thank you.
The judge isn't here to see. Right. So
but Joe Krause says it's radio or the, you know, it's
theater of the mind.
Right, theater of the mind, and so radio is theater of the mind. But having
that's a bad scar right across your neck, and mm-hmm. It's the only place women win, Joe. Women win in summer clothing and scars on the face.
Right.
In
well, what's interesting, but what was
men win everywhere else. This is something
what's
I
interesting about is
comp.
our accident didn't was
seemingly
you know, like not catastrophic. Kid takes we're parked at Princeton Avenue and not parked, we're driving, but we're the left hand turn at Princeton and Frankfurt, and the red light turns green in the middle for the traffic to go straight, but we're at the left-hand arrow. The people take off because the light turns green. Person behind me, young kid, must be looking at the girl right next to him. He takes off as the people next to him rams right into us, but our arrow didn't turn yet. Right. Point is this, it didn't seem catastrophic and all. We had car damage. This was 30 years ago, maybe more. And for the next entire year, my wife had massive pain, and then it exploded. The disc exploded on New Year's Day, and it was a nightmare of epic proportions. But I can relate. I can and I can tell you this: she had the surgery, and what was one of the scariest moments of my life, I'll never forget it. After the surgery, the nerve had been compressed for so long that it didn't come back right away. 2 weeks after that surgery, she was screaming in pain. I thought to myself, I've never seen what happens if this doesn't come back. Now, thankfully, it came back. Dr. Gene Salkind did the surgery, and it was up at Gene's Hospital. It was a year. We didn't even know we had a case. That's how young we were. We didn't even know.
Right.
But having said that, you know, it was you know, meeting people and empathizing and listening to your story, it's a totally different ballgame. Caitlin, I know you've likely you think. You've likely never had a work injury from being a lawyer, but I can tell you somebody who did. Somebody, a lawyer, went to grab, a plastic bottle or something, went to pick it up, pulled his back out, never recovered, and was out for 30 years. It was an extreme situation because they had issues. But anything, you know, anything is possible. And when especially in the workers' comp world, empathy doesn't come easy from workers' compensation panel doctors or defense attorneys. Why is that? Why do injured workers take a beating? Just you know, and a lot, and 99% of them, you know, literally have never even been through it before and can't figure out why.
Well, I think I've never practiced the defense side. I don't know what it's like to be on that side, but I can't imagine. I just can't imagine going up against injured workers all day. I mean, you would almost have to turn your empathy off. I don't know how you would be able to sit there and watch someone suffering and cross-examine them with some of these ridiculous questions that come out of their mouth. You almost have to treat them like a file. You can't treat them, I would imagine. I have a hard time getting through some of the questions, and I'm representing them on direct examination, and it's tough to watch people go through it. Andrea was saying, women with their children. I never realized it.
That's now me too.
My sister has a child now. She's perfectly healthy back. And just from carrying her child, she can't move right now. And she's no injuries. It's just from carrying a child. I can't imagine when my clients talk about their back injuries and they have children, they can't pick up their kids. They can't carry their kids. And that level of understanding that, I can't imagine not being able to pick up my child because I don't have children, by the way.
Or how about this? Carry the child for 9 months
right.
while you're pregnant. Oh. I mean, you know, dealing with mm-hmm. a totally different ballgame. Then maybe not being able to go natural labor because you can't, I have absolutely never, that's just amazing.
Right.
And
then think about the time period, maybe 2 years before you were able to get some relief from getting epidural injections and pain relief and things like that. Well, while you're pregnant, you can't use anything mm-hmm. for that 10-month period. You're just left to your own vices. You cannot have any treatment. And then after, you're like, okay, great, I can go treat for my neck and my back again. But you have a newborn. Do you have time, really, to go?
Yep.
Like, this is what these people are dealing with. And in my case, when we're dealing with negligence, through no fault of their own. Mm-hmm. All they did was sit at a red light like your wife. And right. now this is what they have to go through. But then there's the defense attorneys who just tell themselves, they put their blinker, I don't know what the word I'm looking for.
Shield.
They put a shield over their eyes. And I did work on the defense side. And I know how I was taught. And it's everybody's a file. Oh, it's just another one of those neck and back injuries, just like every other one, blah, 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 blah. They just want meds, blah, blah, blah. They just tell themselves that everyone is bad. And I feel sad for them that they live in that world. Yes, there are people that try to make a buck the wrong way in every business.
Yeah.
But that's not what we're doing. Caitlin and I are advocating for the people that were sitting at the red light that are trying to pick up their baby.
Exactly.
I think that's the biggest thing, is that there's this false narrative out there that work comp and personal injury and everything is everyone is just trying to sue with fake injuries. I have really never seen a fake injury walk in the door at workers' compensation.
Right.
People aren't trying to get hurt and lose their jobs and lose their wages.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. But there's this narrative out there in general society that anyone who is suing is faking it. It's absurd. It's
ridiculous. By the way, the defense attorneys are very good at their job. If it's fake, they'll figure it out really quickly.
Right.
I mean, that's it. They'll figure it out. I don't understand why people don't know that there are lawyers out there where their entire job is to pay out as little on a claim at an insurance company. And sometimes we will take a pay cut because our client maybe has had a prior injury mm-hmm. or something to avoid that argument. But we shouldn't have to.
Right. And having said that, when somebody gets injured either at work or goes through some type of a negligent situation, there's no out-of-pocket cost for your service, right?
No, yeah, we're contingency fee. So if we don't win, if we don't get you money, or let's say you need us and you're already getting paid, we don't just start taking money from you. You know, if we win or if we have to do something for you is when we start to get paid. But you don't have to worry about how am I going to pay my lawyer? Because if you don't get paid by the insurance company, we don't get paid by you either. So that's how it works with our firm.
And a lot of the other thing with that is if it's a regular car accident kind of case, people don't realize that, oh, I have this really bad health insurance right now. I can't afford a lawyer. I can't afford medical bills. Right. And a lot of people in Pennsylvania, the state minimum, you have $5,000 included with your car insurance. So if you get in an accident, you have $5,000 of medical coverage that's already paid for. So you have it. A lot of people don't realize that. They want to ignore the whole thing because they don't want to deal with the paperwork, the bills,
well, it's like
the money.
It's like being under the covers and pretending a bad man's not there. You got to deal with the situation.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly as women, and the 2 years are very successful and have obviously, you know, had great careers. Being in a field where typically it's been male dominated. Obviously. And how is that? Let's kind of segue into that area, because I think it's an obvious situation that everybody comes. I mean, when you're young and you're an attorney, male, female, you know, it in any field, maybe not even an attorney, but I remember being an iron worker and seeing the new kid on the job. He's 19 years old. He looks like a chicken, you know, coming out. I mean, you can just tell. But when you're coming in and you're a woman and you're new, and even, you know, even when you're not new, what challenges are the, what challenges do you face?
Well, first of all, a quick shout out to Caitlin. She's very impressive because, you know, as a woman, she's got her own shop. I mean, this is amazing, and I'm so proud of her.
That's so nice.
Oh my God. And you know what's sad? This is what, my fifth show. It took me this long to get a woman on here because that's how few and far between.
In all fairness, it costs us $100,000 to make Caitlin files on this. I'm just kidding.
My usual fee.
We're just kidding. But yeah, no, I get it. I get it. Trust me, it doesn't. But my point is, the challenges you face to get where you have gotten.
I don't think I realize it, because to get to law school, I didn't feel any challenges as a female. And to even graduate and then get a job, I still don't feel the female challenges.
Agree.
I think it's when you're in it. And then I realize, like, oh, this is a boys' club. This is ridiculous. You just don't see – you see women – working, but you don't see them working their way up through the ranks to the partner level, to the running the show level. And, you know, you see all these firms saying, look how diverse we are, look at our women. But then it's like, who's in charge? Who's making the decisions here? Not the women. They don't have a seat at the actual table. And I don't think I realized that until a few years into my career when I was practicing.
Right. You don't. In law school, it's like the room is split 50-50, men and women. And then you graduate, and then everybody kind of gets their first job. And I think that people... it's a really hard job, too. And I think that people, you know, fall off, and the men get promoted quickly. The numbers are better, and they look out for their boys, or something is happening, or we're too emotional.
Well, there's also a lack of accommodating working mothers. I mean,
well, big time.
If a woman gets pregnant as a lawyer, I mean, I would be shocked to see her continue to move up through the ranks. There's just no accommodation for having children.
And of course, there are exceptions. And a lot of the good firms in the city here have made some exceptions. But generally speaking, if you look at the numbers, for women to be trial lawyers, it is a hard path, I think. I
mean, how about even in the courtroom? You know, I've heard conversations, and Caitlin, I think we've had, you know, some where it, and with a number of women attorneys who have said that, you know, walking into a you know, walking in to do a dep, they couldn't tell me how many times somebody asked them if they were the court reporter.
Yes.
or the old honey comment, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you react when something like that? Andrea, you don't seem like somebody's going to, you know, you know, step down.
I don't get the court reporter comment all that much because I think I'm very loud and scary from what I hear.
I'm nervous. I've been nervous for the last 4 months. It's important.
I come across, but I know that my female colleagues get it all the time. I've gotten it once or twice when I was early on in practice. And, you know, it is what it is. You know, could you take notes on this? They always ask the woman. I mean, this is something...
After we get our settlement and I kick your butt, but that's not important right now. That's a process.
Listen, there's a technique for dealing with it, but I mean, there are some judges that I hear that, like, expect the women in their courtroom to still wear skirts. And not pants. Like, to think about this stuff is bizarre. I mean, I was trying to sign up a client a couple weeks ago. It's a very old school type of person. And I had to really think about, is it going to make a difference if I look really pretty or not pretty enough, if I show my shoulders? Like, no man has thought about that going into a business meeting. And it's odd. And sometimes,
I mean, I'm always on the air, like my guns, I'm always,
we're asking you to put them away. I'm trying to concentrate. Over here.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But on a handful of occasions, I've had to have my male partner step
go ahead,
in.
Matt, hold on. Matt's he's looking for some kind of, sound effect in there. It's gotta be one of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
To reflect
or
the guns.
Yeah, it's flicking the guns. But no, you know, I hear what you're saying. but no, I get it. I mean, it's talk about role models. By the way, I want to introduce my wife, Elaine, who did just walk in.
Welcome.
And Elaine, I was actually just talking about Andrea got in a car accident and got, you know, T-boned. I was talking about your scar there, and I said if you came in, they would see it. But it's just something you talk. We talk about being able to empathize. Of course, you know, we saw it up close, and sometimes. But talk about role models. You know, as women coming in. You know, I mean, we talked right earlier. It's not, you know, there's not always leadership in the firm that you're in that is female. But, you know, in some cases, you're fortunate enough to have one, no matter what, you know, where you come from, or maybe it was a man. Andrew, talk about your role models and mentors coming up the ranks.
Yeah, I will say that there have been, I'm on the alumni board at Widener for law school, and the president of our alumni board, Renee Axelrod, was always very good to me as far as being a mentor. And through that board, I was also lucky enough to sit on the board with Maria McLaughlin, who's running for Supreme Court judge right now. And she is just has a great story. She raised her kids. She did this job. She worked her butt off. And, you know, she keeps, she helped, but she doesn't, she will never hesitate to help out a Widener grad, a woman, someone that's fighting their way up. She will never hesitate to do that. I've seen her do it firsthand. So, she's been a great role model on a, you know, and then on the grander basis, there's always, you know, like the RBG story.
You took my answer.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. But, you know, the flip side was that she got something with the Equal Pay Act that she actually told the story to the courts from the perspective of a single man. Mm-hmm. And that's what's cool about it. Yeah. That's some of the brilliant stuff that she did. It, you know, unfortunately, she had to do it that way because if she brought it up with a single mom, it wouldn't have really hit home so well. But when she told the story from the perspective of a single dad, then it showed that he did deserve the benefits that they were fighting for. So it is interesting.
That was
interesting.
And
she was really ahead of herself by hitting it from that direction. So, you know, something like that. Sorry, I stole your answer.
You did. Caitlin?
Well, it's hard with, like, actual role models in person. I don't remember ever having a female lawyer role model in my life, but I remember reading a book about Sandra Day O'Connor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg as the two first female Supreme Court justices. And they were so different. I mean, so different in terms of their way that they decided cases, but being the only two females as the Supreme Court justices, that just, I mean, that I read that I think 2 years before I opened my firm, that book, and it was just everything to me. But mentors, I think I shout him out every time I'm on here. Technically, he's a rival firm. But Dave Stern, from the beginning with me, has taught me work comp and has kind of helped me and guided me through this. And, you know, he runs his own workers' compensation firm. He's very successful. He's very good at what he does.
You actually told a story about, which I thought was impacting, and I can actually relate to that when we first got into radio, and I mean 7 years ago, where you had called him up and said, you know, asked him for his advice and his input, and had he gone the other way and not given you, you might have not done it.
Yeah. I mean, he's the only lawyer I called before opening my own firm, and he was the last call I was making. And wow.
Give me 5 minutes.
I really wasn't sure if I could open my own firm. And he basically was like, you can do it. Like, you'll be fine. You're good. You know what you're going to do. It's going to be fine. And I was just like, I didn't know what he was going to say. I honestly had no idea. He could have told, and I'm a rival firm to him. He could have said no just to keep the competition out.
Sure.
But he gave me what I needed and pushed me to do it.
So, you know, when we first started radio, I had two calls. We were doing the labor union show, and it was on WWDB. It was six, seven years ago. And I called, there was two people I had to call, Pat Iding, who was the president of the AFL-CIO, and Pat Gillespie, who was the president of Philadelphia Building Trades. I had to get them on the show to legitimize it. That's the head of, that's the crux, the leadership. Had either one of them said no, you know, we might not be here today.
Right.
And so those were calls, and your confidence is on the line. You're mm-hmm. right there. You're your own worst enemy at that point, because you're coming to all kinds of conclusions. So obviously that's important. Talk about being role models for other people, specifically women coming up. In you know, if you have the opportunity, do you ever get those calls from anybody that says, you know, I know it's a new generation, obviously. You're nodding your head, Caitlin. Talk about that.
It's been my favorite part since opening my own firm. I've had quite a few old friends who I haven't talked to in 20 years who went to law school, who have reached out to me through LinkedIn, through whatnot, who saw that I opened my own firm and who just called to ask how I did it, what they should do, if they could do it.
So, and then I'm going in for career days. I've gone to like six in the last 3 months.
That's awesome.
It's just been really cool. And they're all girls' schools. So it's been really cool talking to young women about, hey, you can do this.
Andrea?
Yeah, I get calls often. Pretty cool. Even a friend of mine who does kind of what I do, but he had a woman that asked, you know, for advice about going to law school and moving and the career. And he said, you got to talk to Andrea because I know that she had a different career path. She switched. She went to law school a little bit later. And she's just going to tell you about how to be a woman and succeed because it's a much different game for us than it is for them. And so I love that. And I had another friend, sister-in-law, who had a rough go on the defense side, didn't like it, wanted to give up practicing, kind of like me. And I said, you got to come over to the plaintiff side. I think you're going to love it. You get to be a real lawyer, and it's just helping people. It just feels so much better. And sure enough, you know, I got her a job. I got her involved with some of the local, you know, Pennsylvania Association for Justice that we're in. And stuff like that. So it's been great.
All right. Before we go, Caitlin Files, contact information?
215-987-6452, filesinjurylawyers.com. You can find all the info there.
Awesome. Andrea Sasso?
Yep. It's stamponelaw.com, 215-663-0400. Give us a call.
Awesome. All right. Well, this concludes the fastest hour in radio. This was unbelievable.
That was
Thanks,
fun.
Joe.
It
was really fun.
I want to thank Andrea Sasso for being our host. It was a fantastic
show.
Thank
you, Joe.
And of course, Caitlin Files. Man,
Happy
we're getting
to be here.
You're getting to be around. I want to thank my wife Elaine for being in the house. And of course, Tony Shuler at Pinnacle Medical Plus for sponsoring the broadcast. For everybody, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening.